You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
14 days, just 2 weeks from today, it'll be 2018, and this miserable season for three out of the four teams will finally be over. Welcome to the Tailgates of Hell. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man. Ben David, Jason Giaconia, 13 days, Ben. That's all we got to do. I've started every show, I think, for the last, like, 8 weeks with the exact same thing.
You know, and as terrible as this season has been, as a Giants fan, like, I'm very excited to see what happens starting the day after the league year, because there's a lot that's obviously going to change in New York, so it'll be probably the biggest offseason the Giants have had since 2004. So there's something to look forward to, at least, even though it was preceded by easily the worst season I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. So yesterday, Redskins over the Cardinals. Hey, how about that? 2015. Eagles over Giants, 34-29. Cowboys over the Raiders, 20-17. So we'll give you a quick recap, and then there's a lot that is not, well, I mean, it's football related, but not game related to talk about. And I think that's all we really need to talk about at this point with these teams. But yeah. Just to recap where things stand, Eagles do have a first round bye clinched. They control their own destiny for home field. Vikings, too, they've clinched the NFC North. Rams and Saints are 3-4. Panthers, 5, and Falcons, 6. Lions, Seahawks, and Cowboys are still in the hunt. We got Dallas and Seattle this weekend. Oh man, I'm starting to get a little bit worried about the Cowboys making it.
It's possible. This is basically elimination game between the Seahawks and the Cowboys this week.
And Seattle's playing some bad football right now.
Yes, they are. They don't look good. The Cowboys are surging a little bit. We'll see if they get Zeke back this week, right?
They do.
Yeah, so
they're back home.
Yeah, so this could be, you know, the Cowboys could, I mean, they just look so bad, but they've won, you know, three straight, so.
At least hey. Philadelphia will probably, I mean, barring a Vikings loss this week, I think they'll probably have to play their starters the last week of the season, so at least Dallas is going to have to earn it if they get in.
Yeah.
On the flip side, and we'll get into this game in just a second, Patriots 1, Steelers 2, Jaguars are 3, and they've clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 10 years. Chiefs are 4. Titans 5, and the Buffalo Bills are still hanging on at number 6. They're going to Foxborough this weekend. And I want the Bills to make the playoffs. We've talked about it. We're both from Western New York. I think it'd be cool to see. But you know, good goddamn well, they're going to get killed by the Patriots this weekend.
Yeah, it's maybe a fun while it lasted sort of deal in Buffalo. But, you know, that doesn't eliminate them completely. It obviously makes it a little bit difficult. But hey, I'm more shocked at the Jags being out of the playoffs for a decade.
Yeah, and they're killing teams right now. It's not like they're, you know, the ho-hum AFC South. I mean, they destroyed the Texans yesterday.
And Blake Bortles is just playing lights out this December. So good for them. I mean, I know they've been bad for a long time, but it just doesn't seem that long ago that it was Jack Del Rio and even Coughlin coaching those teams.
Right.
I mean, Del Rio especially. They had Leftwich and what was the guy after Leftwich? David something.
Oh, David. Oh God, this is gonna kill me. I know. Garrard. David Garrard.
Yeah. He was like
Hail Mary against the Texans in that one game. And
So good for them. Yeah, you know, you look at this this AFC playoffs. The Pats and Steelers are no big shock there. Jags definitely. Chiefs, who look like they, are going to live to survive and maybe make it into this thing. But then the Titans and Bills, you know, not two teams you'd normally pick. Although the Titans and Bills have a long storied history of the postseason play in the NFL. So, together, I mean. So it'd be interesting to see them both get in this season. I don't know. I like the Bills. I hope they get in. And then, you know, when Captain Kirk goes up there, it'll be like 2000. What was the year Bledsoe went? 02? It'll be 02 all over again.
Oh, God. Oh, man. All right. Well, elsewhere there, Ravens, Chargers are still alive, and Pats are in good position for home field. So let's talk about that Patriots game. I'm so sick of instant replay.
I mean,
they've taken a game and made it so technical and microscopic to like the way things need to be. And Alberto Riveron in New York just keeps buzzing into games. Like, that's a touchdown.
If you catch the only way I think this whole going to the ground thing is if they catch it and they, as they're falling out of bounds in the end zone, right? That's to me the only way I can sort of see it. But if you catch the ball, Amy took a half a step. I mean, first of all, I mean, the reality is that it was the right call and a bad rule, right?
Right. I mean, technically it is. And my biggest problem with it is if that was 1 yard back and he wasn't crossing the plane of the end zone,
right,
it's a catch. So right. Why is it different when you're in the end zone? It's stupid.
Right. And, like, I get the whole, I don't know. It's just, it's like they have overcomplicated. Now I don't know how you go back. You can't put the toothpaste back in on this and be like, oh, well, now everything we said isn't a catch. It's like, it just, it's so screwed up. I mean, if I was the Steelers, I would be, you know, infuriated today, obviously. And if their fans are, I would assume are. But you know what? That loss is on Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, that 100%. Pass at the end. Yeah, that was garbage. I mean, that was basically triple coverage. And
what was he thinking?
And it's not like they had to score a touchdown there. Like, they easily could have taken that to overtime with a chip shot field goal. And, yeah, I don't know. He said that they buzzed it. Like, they spoke into his headset and said, don't spike it. But, like, what the hell are you doing? You got one guy on three against the Patriots. Like, yeah. Who do you think's going to win?
And it's like he snapped the ball. He fake spiked it. And then he went back. And it's like, throw the fade. That's okay. That's fine. But then when he sat there double clutching the ball on the pocket, I'm going, oh, my God. And 2 seconds elapsed. It's just like, this is already over. And then he puts it in the one spot you never put it. And, of course, you know, what happens, happens. So, you know, tough break for the Steelers. It probably now costs them. Instead of playing at home, now they got to go up to Foxborough, where the Patriots own them anyways, and they especially own them in Foxborough. Right. So that's a tough one for the Steelers fans, I think, because they had that game in grass. I mean, they were winning most of it. I will say, though, Rob Gronkowski is probably the best tight end I've ever seen play.
Oh, football. He's incredible.
That last couple drives, it was like all Brady did was throw to him. It's amazing. So whatever, Patriots continue to be great. Steelers continue to be the Patriots bitches. So what else is new in the AFC?
And instant replay continues to suck. And there was a play in the Redskins game that I'll talk about very briefly during my 2 minutes that I want to spend on that monstrosity of a game. But all right, next, Carolina Panthers are for sale. Do you have an extra $2.3 billion to spend on them? It was only a matter of time. I felt like you saw these actors in Hollywood and stuff, and we're not going to get into the specifics, but I felt like it was only a matter of time before it started to hit the sports world, and more specifically the National Football League. You saw it with the players on the NFL Network last week, and now Sports Illustrated had a very in-depth story about Jerry Richardson, the Panthers head coach. And before I think the best part of it is before the investigations even is going to get going, he's kind of just throwing his hands up and said, I want no part of this, and is just going to sell the team.
Yes, and he actually, Pro Football Talk is reporting, is actually out now. So obviously the team's not sold that quickly, but he's leaving the organization, and it's up for sale. So, I mean, it's good. It'll be interesting to see who buys this team, because obviously, you know, the NFL franchise is the most lucrative sports franchises in the world, you know, outside a handful of other teams in different sports. But, you know, if you're a billionaire, are you buying an NFL football team right now?
I don't know. You know, the one person that, and I mean, obviously because he's famous, but I saw Diddy said he wanted to buy the team. And I mean, it's not specific to him, but I don't know how they choose the owners. Like, if I just had $2.3 billion, could I just buy the Panthers tomorrow? But I would not be shocked. I don't think there's another African-American owner in the league. I wouldn't be shocked if the NFL, just because of everything that's happened recently would look to try to have somebody with some diversity as the next owner of one of the NFL teams.
What, Shad Khan's not good enough for you?
Oh, I forgot about him. He's even better now. It's like the Arabian Prince who just came over.
Yes,
right?
Yes. You know, I think, first of all, Diddy doesn't have the money to buy the Panthers on his own. So let's, you know, we're talking about billions of dollars here. I'm sure Diddy's a multi-millionaire, but I doubt he's even a billionaire, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think, I'm pretty sure, because I remember, I think it was when Haysom bought the Browns, I saw something. I mean, it takes a while, right? I mean, it's usually how it works is like a lot of these guys own little minority stakes in different franchises, right? So the owners, you know, own a majority of it, at least 51%, but a lot of times a lot more. But then they sell little pieces here and there. Like I think the Dolphins are owned by a bunch of celebrities, have little pieces here and there. And I think Haysom was with the Steelers, actually. So I think it usually comes in from like a guy who's maybe wet his chops.
Right.
As like a minority owner. And then, I mean, the NFL obviously is going to vet them up and down. So, you know, no, it won't be Diddy. But it, you know, it'll probably be someone we've never heard of, some rich guy. I'm trying to think of like really rich, like executives from the Carolinas. You know, if there's somebody from that area who seems like a no-brainer, there is one billionaire from the Carolinas, you know.
Who's that?
He's talking about starting his own football league again.
I didn't know he was from Carolina, to be honest with
yes,
you, so I didn't
yes.
know what you were getting at. But
yes, and that's Mr. Vince McMahon, for those who don't don't know. So you know, to put a bow on the Panthers, clearly it'll probably be a quick sale. I don't think it affects them at all, you know, as a team or whatever. It's just Jerry Richardson. Time to go. Jerry Jones obviously called him a great guy and blah, 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 even though he's paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars to women that he sexually harassed over the years. So he's not that good of a guy, but there you go.
Well, that was an interesting segue. You talk about Vince McMahon and a guy who's talking about starting his own football league. So there were some rumors, I forget if it was Saturday or Sunday, but that, well, it wasn't a rumor. Vince McMahon did start a new company, or at least applied for the licenses or whatever the hell goes into that. You probably know way about that more than I do. But the return potentially of the XFL. A, do
yes.
you think it happens? And B, whether it's the XFL or any other league, what has to change for it to be successful this time? Because it was obviously a hot concept when it happened the first time, but it fell apart pretty quickly.
Yeah, so like after 1 week. So, yeah, Vince McMahon started a new company called like Alpha Sports or something like that. And it was set up to separate his wrestling company from, you know, it's like his personal venture thing, right? Which is smart, because if and when he announces the XFL to keep the wrestling, you know, the WWE stock from tanking, they can just say that, oh, this isn't actually funded by WWE. So he's trademarked the XFL, or the WWE up the XFL trademark. He's trademarked a bunch of football related slogans and names and things like that. And the most incredible thing to me is that nobody has denied that this is happening.
Right.
I mean, this is like 3 or 4 days now, and the WWE hasn't said anything. Vince McMahon hasn't said anything. So I think it's happening. I think there's going to be some sort of football thing going on. Some people have even said it will be announced on January 25th of 2018. So we're just over a month away if it's coming. I don't know how you get into this business now, relaunching a league that was all about not being player safe.
Well, we talked about it before we got started. There was a clip floating around the internet today of one of the quarterbacks who got, I mean, just destroyed.
He looked dead.
Openly talking about how he went back into the game with a concussion.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. You know, that being said, it's sort of, if you start to connect the dots a little bit around Vince McMahon and Jerry Jones and that 30 for 30 that they did, and even at the very end of it, Vince McMahon and Dick Ebersol were talking about how they would think about doing it again. And then Dick Ebersol made this sort of weird comment about Jerry Jones was always a fan of it and blah, 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 right? So, and then Vince McMahon himself said it would have to be tied to the league or the owners or some of the owners. So I'm wondering, do they sort of play spring ball?
Well, that's, I think there's two things for this to be successful. One, they cannot play it in the fall. I think it was the XFL didn't, but there was the USFL or whatever that tried to start up, right, a couple of years ago. Like, you can't have football in the fall unless you're the NFL or college. Like, nobody cares, right, at that point. So it has, right, to be in the spring and not in February, I would say, right as you're kind of yearning for football again. So maybe like March to May, early June or something like that. And the other caveat, in my opinion, is it has to be affiliated with the NFL. So whether you have eight teams and each, you know, the Giants and the Redskins and the Cowboys and the Eagles can each designate, you know, 10 players to this league, and then maybe it's additionally made up with some undrafted free agents or something like that who are kicking around. Like, for me to go out of my way to watch those games, I think it has to have some type of affiliation with my team where I can watch, you know, that guy who played for the Redskins yesterday, whose name I can't even remember right now, but scored a couple touchdowns in the spring and say, okay, let's see how this guy develops. Like, maybe you have a fourth string quarterback that you took a flyer on. Like, I think that's what you have to do. Kind of like NFL Europe was. I mean, Kurt Warner played there and it was interesting to watch back then. I mean, and you can't expect the ratings to be anything like phenomenal with this, but I think it could work.
I mean, I think it's sort of interesting if they do. See, I would even push it back. Like, I would do, like, start at April at the earliest and have it go through, like, July. And, you know, if they do, because I think, wasn't the old ones on Thursday nights? It was prime time, I know that.
Yeah, well, they had Saturday night is how I remember the first game was on Saturday night. I think they had them on Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons. And I think Saturday night is not a good way to go. I would do Thursday and Sunday because people have other shit to do on Saturday nights.
Yeah, I mean, as much as everybody hates NFL Thursday night football, a Thursday night spring league is not a terrible idea to me. And, you know, the other thing is, even if it's not affiliated with the NFL, which I think it may be if it comes back, so just for example, here's the names you could have playing quarterback in the XFL. Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Johnny Football, who else? I mean, there are guys who are not any good. But
Davis Webb. Like, you could take a guy like that from the Giants who people want to see and put him in there.
And so Tim Tebow. Like, you know what I mean? So these aren't good players, but they're marquee names. Right. You know what I mean? And so – and would – they'd probably look a hell of a lot better against XFL talent, right, than against NFL talent. So it's you start to think about it, and then you think about, okay, if it's not built on the TV, because really what killed the XFL was that Saturday rating was like the worst rated primetime show in the history of TV or something like that, and it just got piled on. So, you know, there's no guarantee in today's world that you have to be on. What if it was on Facebook, right? What if it was on Hulu or something? You know what I mean? So there's, you can start to sort of see it come together in your mind. Now, whether or not it's a good idea, I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me. And, you know, there's this whole flip side of this too, is how the NFL is hated by half the country because the players kneel and blah, 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 and replay. So if they literally just made a rule that you have to stand for the national anthem, and they got rid of replay. You know what I mean? Like, if they just went down the list and checked all the boxes about what everybody hates about the NFL.
Well, and if it's affiliated, you could start to experiment with some things that people are bitching and complaining about.
Yeah, and you know the thing?
I was just going to say, one of the other things that I would make sure with whether it's the XFL or a spring league, is the stadium experience. You cannot go and play that in huge football stadiums like they were trying to do originally. I played at soccer stadiums, kind of like the Chargers are doing right now, some really intimate, small places where you could experiment with the fan experience and stuff like that. And
yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I'd say about the XFL, the one thing you can give it credit for is it was ahead of its time in some ways with the way it presented the game. So everybody who was mic'd up, like, people forget the coaches weren't mic'd back then, the players weren't mic'd back then. In the NFL, the Sky Cam was invented in the XFL that NBC uses to this day. So And then you think about social media and stuff today, like how they can incorporate that. I mean, there's definitely, you can, like I said, you can definitely see it come together in your head. I don't think it'll work as a business, but I could, you know, Vince McMahon being as crazy as he is, you could see him sitting up there in Connecticut going, okay, I could do this again.
And what the hell does he got to lose at this point? Who knows how much longer he'll be around. So, all right, NFC.
He may be able to get a small business administration loan from his wife as
yeah.
well.
So. Just put this country in a little more debt. All right, NFC East football. I have zero interest in talking about the Redskins, but I'll just go through a few high-level bullet points with them. Jay Gruden is getting annoying with how ho-hum he is when his team is getting hosed. Towards the end of that game, there were three or four calls that were just egregious, and he just shrugs his shoulders. And you go back to when they got screwed on that call in New Orleans, and I think referees at some point know they can get away with crap against you, and just the way he's handling that is starting to piss me off. Blaine Gabbert's the worst quarterback that ever played the game of football. I swear to God, the Redskins could have been playing anyone else in the league yesterday, including the likes of DeShone Kizer. They would have gotten destroyed. On the good side, Kendall Fuller, Redskins cornerback, been a nice young bright spot. He's been good. Special teams sucked yesterday. Samaje Perine sucked yesterday, but got rolling late. They must beat Denver. I have nothing else. I mean, it was the most boring, one of the most boring games I ever watched. I know we say this every week, but because it'll be Christmas time, I really don't know if I'll watch them play the Broncos and watch Brock Osweiler tear them up. So
the one thing I want to say, ask you about Gruden is, you know, Kirk Cousins is like, he's leaving, he's out of town, basically, yeah. Right? Do you think Gruden wants to get fired?
That's a good question. I don't think he wants to be there without Cousins, because where are you going without Kirk Cousins next year?
Like, that's what I mean.
You're either starting over with a rookie quarterback, or you got Colt McCoy, or you got who, like Tyrod Taylor or something. Like, actually, I wouldn't hate Tyrod Taylor given the options, but yeah, God. I don't know. And you know what? I still think he needs to at minimum go 1-1, if not 2-0 down the stretch, because offensively, like they weren't great yesterday. They were. Blaine Gabbert's the only reason the Redskins won that football game. I mean, they were terrible yesterday, and they continue not to show up. If I was him, what the hell would you want to coach in Washington right now?
Well,
if you don't have a
the only reason I asked too is because I feel like with Marvin Lewis announcing he's stepping down, which is another thing we should maybe mention on this show in the news of the week. Maybe he sees an opportunity to like go back to Cincinnati if Lewis is in the front office. You know, who knows? Who knows? But it wouldn't shock me. So let's go to New York, where the Eagles defeat the Giants. What else is new in that particular matchup? Listen, the Giants started hot. They looked terrible the rest of the way. I have nothing to add about the Giants. The Eagles, on the other hand, yeah, they won the game. But Philly fans are fooling themselves if they think this is the same team that took the field 2 weeks ago when Carson Wentz had two good knees.
Right, and I don't know. I mean, because you look at the stats, you can't fault Nick Foles. He had four touchdown passes, but I don't know. Something has changed with the Eagles. I mean, they gave up 29 points. They should have lost this football game. And
well, yes, if it wasn't for special teams debacles, which, by the way, Tom Quinn, the special teams coordinator of the Giants, has had the worst special teams for a decade and somehow survived on that team. It is the most preposterous thing I've ever seen in my life that this guy has kept his job through all these different administrations. But, the Giants really, if they don't take the points up the board that they should have had, they would have won that game. And, I think the Eagles are probably spinning it like we took them lightly, blah, blah, blah. We got ourselves back into it, but I don't know. If I'm an Eagles going into Minnesota or having to play the Saints or even the Panthers or somebody.
Or the
I don't,
Falcons so. Or really yeah. anybody else in the NFC playoffs. I mean, I'm not saying they're not capable of winning. They'll have at least one home game, if not two. But they're not winning the Super Bowl, which 2 weeks ago I thought they would be winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or at least they would have a good goddamn shot with Carson Wentz. And I mean, Nick Foles is one of the better backups I think you can have, but I don't see this continuing, especially once they start to play some better defenses.
And you know what? They may win out the rest of the year. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, they play the Raiders next week.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't, against real competition.
It's going to be tough, but they could be playing the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs if the Cowboys are able to sneak in. They defeat the Raiders last night. But thank Derek Carr. I don't even know how I'm trying to articulate it, but the when you see Derek Carr diving for the pylon, like, I feel like this shit happens all the time. And why do people still do that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he was just obviously trying to make something happen, but woof. For the Raiders, what happened to those guys?
I don't know. I think they're one of the biggest disappointments in the league, because going into the playoffs last season, before Carr got hurt, they were, I mean, people were talking about them as the ones that could knock the Patriots off and go forward. But yeah, I don't know. And then they had the index card. I don't know if you saw Gene Steratore as he was measuring for the first down and used the index card, and then Jack Del Rio got all pissed today because Steratore had a smirk on his face. That didn't look like a first down to me either, but
no, I don't know where he got that from, but
yeah, but we've crapped on the Cowboys, and I still don't think they're very good, but they've won three in a row. They've gotten themselves in a position, and next week, them and the Seahawks, that's the biggest game of the week, and the Seahawks do not look very good. And if the Cowboys win out, and I think the Lions just have to lose one game, which is questionable too, but they put themselves in a position, and that's more than you can say for our teams right now.
I mean, I think if they get in, listen, they're not beating the best teams in the world, but whatever, they're beating them. So if they get in on a five-game win streak,
they could be a scary team.
Yeah, they're hot. They get Elliott. I mean, Elliott obviously is their guy, assuming he comes back to the same form he was. I mean, I wouldn't want to play him in the playoffs. I mean, so we'll see. Again, I don't think they're as good as like the Vikings or the Saints or the Eagles or any of the top teams. But
they could beat you.
Yeah, they got a shot for sure. You.
So, all right, quick break. Stank Rankings on the other side, and we'll get out of here on the Tailgates of Hell.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter at tailgatesofhell.
All right, we're back. Getting close to the end of the Stank Rankings this year, but, you know, not a lot of change, actually, when you go back and look at these teams. But
most of the time when we have a little sheet that we go off of, it's just changing the record. The teams don't change.
Yeah, so Jason, you got this week, so number 28.
Number 28, new team. We said, you know, we should mention Marvin Lewis. I was going to mention it here. Cincinnati Bengals 5-9. They suffer another loss yesterday to the Vikings 34-7, and it wasn't even that close. That's a disappointing team, especially coming off the last season. But it's going to be interesting to see just how much that team gets blown up with Lewis leaving. But yeah, the Bengals, they stank, and I think the Browns play them. Could be the best shot that they have, but they still do.
All right, I agree with all that. Lewis, seems like he's been coaching for 50 years, and now it's over. Although he said he's not retired, so we'll see where he winds up or what he ends up doing next year. All right, number 29.
All right, we called it from day one. Andrew Luck did not play for this team at all. The Indianapolis Colts are 3-11. They play hard, at least. They got off to a good start against Denver on Thursday, but then Brock Osweiler came out of nowhere and just carved them up. It's just not a good football team. They've been hiding behind a good quarterback the last, really, since Peyton Manning was there. Even when they were winning Super Bowls, I feel like there's four or five guys left. In 2017, they stank.
Yeah, they stank, and that's right, because that year Manning got hurt, they were a complete disaster. Number 30, a team, you know, really that a lot of bad luck and fortune ran up on them.
The Houston Texans, they're 4-10. I forget which week it was before they lost to Deshaun Watson in practice, but he lit the league on fire for those 3 weeks before. They were right in the midst of the AFC North. I don't think they've won a game since. They lose to the Jaguars yesterday, 45-7. And there's some chatter about Bill O'Brien in Houston. It's going to be interesting to see if he's back. But as of right now, the Houston Texans without Deshaun Watson or J.J. Watt, they stay.
If Bill O'Brien gets let go, he is my number one pick. be the next coach of the Giants.
Yeah, like, some bad luck in Houston. Yeah. And some bad quarterback play, really, for the last few years until they had to show Watson. It's kind of incredible that they've been able to win playoff games.
I know. I mean, it's remarkable what sort of how successful they've been with the little they've had. So, all right, speaking of New York, number 31.
Hey, good for you guys, because you are now in the driver's seat for the number two pick. You're in that seat alone. I don't think you'll catch the Browns for number one, but Giants 2-12. I mean, we've said it for a long time. They lose yesterday. They play a good game yesterday. They finish up with the Cardinals in Arizona next week, which... Arizona's bench there. This is how bad what people think of the Redskins is after their Cardinals lost yesterday. The GM came out and apologized for their play. They benched their quarterback. So the Giants got them next week. I think Arizona wins that. And the Giants finish with the Redskins. Easily could be two losses, even if they sneak out one of those games. I still think they'll be number two.
Yeah, because I actually think the Colts, who are knocking on the door, are going to win, probably beat the Texans. Maybe. So, yeah, they're looking good for the number two pick. Happy about that. So, we'll see. I don't think they can lock it up till the end of the year, but we shall see. And number 32, the old standby.
I was wrong. They have lost the Bengals twice already. So they got the Bears, and then they got the Steelers at home. They got the Bears. Actually, they're both on the road. They're in Chicago, in Pittsburgh. They got that parade planned.
I would get the marching band warmed up. Maybe they beat the Bears. And you know what? They're not going to beat the Steelers. Because I remember, I don't know how long ago it was, but the Bills had to beat the Steelers third string to make the playoffs in Buffalo. And they couldn't get it done. So there you go. Browns, Cleveland fans, I'm feeling sorry for you, but I think it's coming.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. I had a lot to talk about. Football, but for Ben David and Jason Giaconia, you're listening to the Tailgates of Hell podcast. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter at tailgatesofhell.